You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. Thank you all for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor. I am DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you today, sir?
Hey, my man. I'm doing well. It's good to see you back. It's good to have you back. I'm glad you're feeling well, and let's do this.
Thank you. How are you feeling? So much. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling much better. Cold really took me out. I did not expect that at all. You never expect to get sick, but a cold, come on, man. But in having a conversation with Dr. Evans before we got started, he asked me, did you get your flu shot though? And I was like, oh, I did not. Here I am sitting around here worried about my booster, and I haven't even gotten my flu shot yet. So let me cut out the bag.
It's a good segue to say that joining us today is Dr. Evans, Dr. Christopher Evans at OHSU. Chris, it's good to have you back on the show. Thank you very much for joining us. We have an awesome show ahead of us. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Good to see both of you. Thank you for having me back. It's always a pleasure. And about vaccines. So, you know, whatever kind of vaccine it is, if you're flu vaccine, your COVID vaccine, you know, we always like about preventative health. So
Yes, all the vaccines.
So I should highlight this because I observed a conversation between my two colleagues here, and the way Dr. Evans just slid in the flu shot thing and how important it is to get the flu shot was expertly done. It was beautiful to witness. Even as, you know, as a seasoned clinician, I was just like, man, that's a smooth way to do it. He's a smooth operator.
Yeah, that was he played some chess with me. It was very good. It was very good. I hope and pray some of our listeners have primary care physicians just as savvy as Dr. Evans is.
Thank you.
So let's jump into it. The new variant that is on the lips of everyone right now, the Omicron variant. Things that I heard initially, first off, let me just be clear. I'm probably like any other person outside of the medical community. Anytime you hear of a variant, you know, all your senses go up, but it's like, oh my goodness, it's happening all over again. We're going to be back under quarantine. We're going to have to, you know, roll back all the different steps that we've done in the past. And you get scared. You get a little concerned. I'm also in a position of privilege where I'm having conversations with physicians every single week. So I understood that this was eventual. This was going to happen. The mutations will continue to happen. We're going to constantly have variants. So we have been hearing about the Omicron variant a lot since Thanksgiving weekend. Could you guys shed some light on that? Why?
So we kind of touched on this last week. Mm-hmm. As a teaser for this week's episode, and Chris had a very good response to this. I'll let him share his thoughts on that.
Well, you know, so thank you for bringing me back. So, you know, one thing we know is that, you know, what we're seeing in real time is evolution. It's the evolution of the virus. And, you know, one of the sort of spaces that viruses can sort of, you know, evolve in is if they're given enough time and space to replicate. And that typically happens in someone who is not protected, whether or not they don't have enough antibodies or for different reasons. And so I always like to think about sort of, I think the analogy I've used before is a lock and key, is that, you know, think about your antibodies as the lock and then the virus as the key. And, you know, as keys go, we all know there are times when, you know, the key can change. You know, you go, you move into an apartment and you get the key cut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not exactly the sort of the same exact copy, but it will work. So what we're seeing right now is that this key is changing, but changing quickly. And I think the thing that we're most worried about is when that lock and key no longer fit. So when that vaccine, that antibody that comes from vaccines no longer fits the key, which is the variant. And so, you know, again, to sort of close that space for viruses to replicate really comes from being vaccinated, to having a highly vaccinated population. And I think one of the biggest things we've recognized from a public health standpoint is that, you know, we don't live in Oregon, we live in a global community. And right. So what happens in other countries, what happens here affects someone else somewhere else. And so I think it's so important that everyone get access to the vaccines and that everyone gets protected by producing antibodies.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, yeah, that's, it's, I love that analogy because it simplifies things in a way that's easily accessible to everybody, right? We all use keys. We all have to unlock our doors. We all have to unlock our cars, our bicycles, you name it. Our motorbikes, we are all familiar with that concept, and it really simplifies things in a way that's easily understandable. This Omicron variant that has been plaguing us since the South African scientists notified us of it at the end of November is, one, causing a lot of problems, two, getting everybody really excited. So as Dr. Evans talked about, the fewer people that are vaccinated, the higher the chances that we'll have more and more variants. Right now, I think there are 7 named variants using the Greek alphabet, and Omicron is concerning a lot because it appears to be significantly more, maybe not significant. We don't know the extent of how more transmissible it is than the Delta, but it appears to be more transmissible than the Delta variant. And if you remember, the Delta variant is 2 times more transmissible than the original variant. So that's really concerning. And then the other thing is the number of mutations on this new variant, on the Omicron, which may render our vaccines maybe not as effective and may not provide as much immunity as we would like. Hence the plea to get your boosters if you haven't already gotten your boosters, or get vaccinated if you haven't been vaccinated already.
And I just wanted to add a couple things and to exactly what Dr. DeBay said. I think anytime I hear variant, there's 3 things that come to mind. One, is it more transmittable? So, you know, as Dr. Dubé said, you know, are more people going to have a chance of getting infected because of the infection rate? Number two, is it going to be more severe? So, you know, there's always a play to, you know, as viruses evolved, is this going to be worse than Delta, or like, I don't know if necessarily milder than Delta, but are more people going to get sick in the hospital? And then the third thing I think is like our last wall of defense is, do our vaccines work? because if we get to a point again where that lock and key analogy no longer works, then I think we're definitely in some trouble. So I think the first part about it, as Dr. Dubé said, it seems to be more transmittable. I think, you know, the second part about whether or not it causes more severity still being investigated as sort of this evolves. And then there's a little bit of data coming out about sort of the effectiveness of the vaccines. And so that's something that people are looking at right now.
Yeah. So I saw a meme. You know, I have to. I gotta come with the meme stuff, guys. I saw a meme over the week, actually earlier this week, And it's so interesting. He can come off as an expert if you phrase the question with the proper inflection that's not necessarily presenting a fact, but making you think you're thinking about something that's unresearched. So the person was saying, okay, so they rushed us out here to get us all vaccinated, and now they're saying a new variant has arrived. So what's the point of getting vaccinated? Are they just going to keep on making us get vaccinated? Where are these variants coming from? Every time I turn around, there's a new variant. And it was really interesting to watch the comments. As almost it's there's this reality that people are living in, that vaccine hesitant people are living in, that I'm seeing online, where in this reality, the medical community is releasing both the variants and vaccines in concert for the purpose, I'm not sure what the full conspiracy is, but from what I understand so far, you guys are just dropping vaccines so you could drop another variant, so you could drop another vaccine and never allow us to return to a world where we were unvaccinated. I don't know. But I don't think it's possible to state enough just, the science and biology of the mutations and how this is inevitable and how this has always occurred. The only difference is we're dealing with something that is hitting us in the way that we haven't seen before, and at least in a very long time. And the rate at which it's spreading, coupled with the disinformation, is why we are where we are right now.
So I did a community Q&A last week Friday, and it's interesting. It's as though someone was reading. It's as though you were at this event last week, because what you just said is exactly what people some of the questions I got. That why is it that after getting all these people vaccinated in Oregon, at least we now have what 82, 83% of the adult population vaccinated. Now there's, oh, you need to get a booster. Oh, you need to, there's a new variant that may not be, that may, you may not be protected if you're vaccinated. You may need a new booster or something like that. And why do you guys keep on dropping these new variants? And I think what we have to explain to folks is that we are not creating the variants. No one in the scientific community is sitting in a lab saying, let me create this new variant that is going to cause problems. Or no one at Moderna or Pfizer or Johnson and Johnson or AstraZeneca, you name it, any company out there that's making vaccines, is sitting in a lab saying, I'm creating a new variant because we need to make money. Or we need to increase voter, we need to increase mail-in votes or something like that. Those are some of the things that I heard when I was at this event last week. And I understand the concerns. I understand how people can be skeptical. And at the same time, there's this, I think we have to explain things in a way that people understand that one, no scientist is doing this. Two, it highlights what's important in terms of what Dr. Evans was talking about, how why it's so important to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And our topic today is Omicron and global vaccine equity. So we are probably one of the highest vaccinated countries in the world right now. And as a matter of fact, there's a map that we'll put on as a resource for this episode that shows vaccination rates and income status of that region of the world, that country, those countries. And what you can see is very, very clear, right? In that the higher the income level of a country, the higher the vaccination rate, which means that in South Africa, for instance, where it's a developing world country, they have about 25% of their population, adult population, vaccinated, which means the vast majority, 75%, if not more, is not vaccinated. So that's just a recipe for new variants to come into being. So as much as we can talk about vaccines here in this country and say, we need to get vaccinated in Oregon, we need to get vaccinated in Portland, we need to get vaccinated wherever we are and in the rest of the country, we also need to help countries in the developing world for them to get vaccinated. Because if we don't, guess what? We're shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
All we're doing is creating an environment where we'll continue to have these new variants that are going to cause us problems.
Yeah. I was watching BBC News. They were featuring a doctor based out of Abuja, Dr. Oyade Alakija. And she was saying that the global community has to just take this seriously. Having these travel bans that don't match the science just for the sake of creating division is nonsense. And how, of course, you know, this has just been, it's inevitable. And she mentioned something that like made my ears perk up. And she was like, you know, we keep playing around. We're going to keep having these mutations. At some point, we're going to hit an alpha variant that is going to completely reset us. And we're going to be in a position where we have to work from scratch to figure out how to work against that particular variant. And I was like, oh, whoa. I that was just scary to think, you know?
Man. I mean, vaccine nationalism does not work. You know, this is a global pandemic. And, you know, what I think is so different in 2021 versus, you know, back in the 80s and 90s is that, guess what? You can get on a flight anywhere and be anywhere around the world. We live in a smaller and smaller and smaller global community. Mm. And so, again, it's sort of your neighbor is the country that's 4 hours away by flight. And so no one really can sort of, you know, and viruses don't respect, you know, there's nothing about Omicron that says, well, I'm going to stop at the Canadian border.
Right.
Or I'm going to stop. Viruses don't know geography.
Yeah, or have language barriers.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, oh, so I think, is Spanish. I don't understand. Exactly. Maybe I won't go to Mexico.
Viruses are just, you know, agnostic to anything that all the sort of barriers that we put up as human beings, and they will take advantage of spaces where people are not vaccinated. And it's not to be said, you know, it's, I think, a travesty that, you know, there are countries around the world that are still yet to receive enough vaccines for their frontline workers. Mm. You know, and so I definitely think that I know that, you know, yes, you know, we're always slow to say, yes, you know, we'll give you vaccine and so forth. But again, this is not just pure altruism, because what we do in other countries affects us. So, yeah.
It's that idea of, you know, going outside of your fence so as to protect your house. You know, stepping outside of your gate to see what's going on, to take care of what's going on the street, so as to protect your house. I like how Dr. Evans talks about how vaccine inequity in other countries affects us here in the U.S. and how we live in a global world, and if we don't take that seriously, we're doing is just treading water.
Yeah, that's a beautiful framework for this conversation. I feel like we kind of have a basis for that type of understanding when we think about the internet, right? We think about, you know, our children having access, and, you know, you can be in contact with someone on the other side of the world and not even know it. The health community and our ecosystem is the exact same way. I never thought about that. Your next door neighbor can be 18 hours away. But in this particular world, they might as well be 6 feet away, like, or 4 feet away. Like, that's how this is working. I think the more we have conversations like this and try to give that viewpoint, our community will have a better understanding, the sense of urgency and why we need to change the way we're operating right now. So we are hearing that this particular variant is more transmissible. Are there any other things specifically about this particular variant that are different, that's different from the Delta strain or any of the previous strains that we should be concerned about? Are we seeing different symptoms, anything like that?
I think it's still too early to, you know, figure out. Well, you know, so far, you know, just looking at South Africa, you know, they haven't seen sort of an uptick in mortality, but that could also be reflective that, you know, the people who are getting infected are young, and, you know, in general, quote unquote, younger people tend to do better. But, you know, one thing I've learned about COVID is that never say never. Give it enough time. Yep. And I think that, you know, it's too early to form absolutes that it doesn't cause this or it won't cause that or this population is protected. And so I think, you know, as it unfortunately makes its way through different populations and communities, we'll have more information. I think right now they're looking at whether or not the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna vaccines form enough antibodies or give you sort of enough protection from severe illness. They're also looking at whether or not some of the monoclonal antibodies, as you know, that's been a big thing where if someone's getting sick, they can go and get an infusion or, and so they're trying to see whether or not those antibodies that are developed in a lab will work against the new variant. And hopefully it does, because I think going back to the drawing board is going to be a heavy lift. And so hopefully we won't have to do that.
Yeah. And along those lines, the beauty of mRNA technology is they can tweak the vaccines and really quickly and bring them to scale really, really quickly. I heard the Moderna CEO saying they can, if they were to start today, they could have, they could be mass producing a vaccine in 2 to 3 months. That's specific to Omicron. So it just shows you how far we have come with you know, technology in medicine, and it's just beautiful to think that we can do this really quickly. And nod again to Jennifer Doudna and her team and all the other folks that have been working on mRNA technology for a while.
That's very encouraging to hear, seriously. So we are in the holiday season. We're in the shopping season. Different things that we can do to protect ourselves against the Omicron variant. And here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. It's not like the Delta variant isn't still out here. It's not like,
oh, yeah. So thank you, DJ, for bringing that up. Sorry. I'm just going to say the dominant variant the world over right now is still Delta.
Right.
So, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, my man. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important. I mean, as we hear the new variants, it's like, oh, I don't need to worry about the Delta variant or any. No, they're all out here. They're all here, especially if you're unvaccinated. You need to worry about every version of every variant. Yeah. So different things we can do to protect ourselves. Definitely get vaccinated. Wear a mask, you know, indoor public settings or outdoor crowded settings. Maintain 6 feet. But and of course, wash your hands. But in the effort to do holiday shopping, how are people to avoid large crowds? Are we looking at a surge inevitably because of Christmas shopping, because of families gathering? I mean, what do you guys anticipate for the coming year as far as the surge in January?
I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, this is something we see every year. Respiratory viruses tend to peak, or certain respiratory viruses tend to peak in the winter. So your flu, and so just as another plug for people getting the flu vaccine, because, you know, anytime you have people indoors, less sort of circulating air, closer sort of person to person, you have an increased risk of transmitting some type of infection. And so again, the important thing, of course, is to get vaccinated against anything that you can get vaccinated that has a vaccine that, you know, in terms of respiratory viruses. And so the big one, of course, as Dr. Dubey said, is COVID with Delta circulating, and of course, your flu. I still think too that, you know, we also need to recognize that we're going to live with this for a while. And so this is not a matter of not sort of like, you know, putting yourself as a, locking yourself away. I still think it's important. You know, mental health is a big issue right now in many communities. And so I think for many people, being around others during the holiday season is a sort of a reminder about, I think this is one of the Christmases or Hanukkahs or however you celebrate the season, where, you know, it's great to have a celebration of life and to be close to your loved ones. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that. but I think it should be done safely in the context that people should be vaccinated when you're gathering together, because that will, of course, protect everyone else.
I'm totally with you, Dr. Evans. I'm totally with you. Let's be safe. Let's protect each other. Let's celebrate life. I mean, we have lost a lot of people the world over. And as Dr. Evans said, last week we reached a milestone where COVID-19 has killed more people than HIV this year.
Wow.
Am I remembering that right, Dr. Evans? And we really have to take that moment to celebrate the fact that we are in this space together. We, as a local community and as a global community, and remember those things. Remember the fact that we are social beings. We are relational beings. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate one another. Let's celebrate life. Let's do the right thing to protect each other and protect ourselves, which is get vaccinated. This, as you've heard numerous times on this show, this vaccine knows no boundaries, cares not whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a Green Party member. It cares not if you're from India, Zimbabwe, Japan, England, or the US. It knows no boundaries, and it does not require a visa to get into any country.
No, it does not.
yeah.
So I'm glad we kind of went this way. I want to discuss policy real quick. So I believe it's in Germany. They are getting a little bit more strict with some of the regulations there. Kind of demanding that people are getting vaccinated and limiting the places they can go if they're unvaccinated. And in New York, they have expanded the vaccination requirement from not just federal workers or state workers, but to all business owners that are dealing, that have, you know, forward-facing clients that they're dealing with. They're requiring everyone to get vaccinated if you're at work. How do you get, I'm sure, I can guess how you might feel about that. do you see, let me ask you this. And this is not just, do you see us moving that direction here in Oregon, but at what point should we start thinking and what are considered drastic steps to making sure the community is safe? Is this something that we should have been considering even before now? And what's the threshold before we start saying, hey, you know what? If you don't want to be vaccinated, stay home. And if you want to run your business, everyone needs to be vaccinated. What are your thoughts?
I'd say one thing I'd start off by saying is that having vaccine mandates for workplaces is not a new idea. We've been doing this for many years. If you go and get a burger, you'd love to know that your cook doesn't have hepatitis A. And so we mandate that people should be vaccinated against certain infections as to protect the public. In the hospital here, we have our annual flu vaccine and, you know, their policies around this. So I think asking people to do something, not only to protect themselves, but to protect others, I think it's great when it's voluntary, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, I think that there are going to be policies that might have to sort of mandate that. Now, I'm going to stay off the topic about whether or not that's right or wrong, but I do think that the carrot and stick kind of policy sort of approach does seem to work. You know, in places that had mandated vaccines. If you think about Baylor Hospital, they got they got almost all of their folks vaccinated when they mandated this. So mandates do work. I think in the United States, we are, you know, really creatures about personal choice and personal freedoms.
Right.
But, you know, the idea about freedom, I always think, you know, my grandmother says, with freedom comes responsibility. And so it's not just about your personal freedoms. It's about, well, how am I going to be a responsible citizen? Because you don't live in an island. And so what you do has a direct impact on someone else. And so I hope, again, that we don't go there, because again, I think that we have a backlash, but, you know, I do think that there's some benefit to go, you know, urging people in different ways to be vaccinated, because that's the only way that we're going to kind of get over this. I would love to say that in 5 years, this is a bad nightmare behind us, but we'll not get there if, as my grandma would say, you don't do right. And so I think, you know, folks need to recognize that we all want to come out of this nightmare. And the only way to do it is that we all get vaccinated.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I was talking to a CDC epidemiologist who was intimating the same things. I think her expertise is in vaccine confidence. And she was sharing with me that mandates work. And there've been, we know that from previous vaccination efforts. And we know that from cases like the Baylor situation that was brought up by Dr. Evans. So we need to have more of those in place now that we're at a place where we have essentially reopened, and we're essentially going about our business every single day. Everybody's out. I mean, if you look at the number of cars on the road, the number of traffic patterns, if you look at shopping, people who are at shops, who are eating out, etc., they people are out and about. And so what can we do to protect each other? What can we do to protect the general public? And one of those, a last resort, at least in this country, would be one of those last resorts. And I'm in total favor of that. And I hope that at some point we'll, I hope we don't need to get there. I hope that's not a tool that we'll use, but at the same time, I think we're at a point where it's a tool that we kind of have to take out of our tool bag and use it. Because what's the point if we keep on saying please get vaccinated, please get vaccinated, and we're not at a point where not everybody's protected. I'm in favor of mandates. I'm in favor in this particular case. I'm in favor of vaccine mandates. I think they will do us good. Going back to what Dr. Evans said, and I'll be real brief here. Talking about liberty, right? We're a country that is founded on liberty, and also recognizing that we live in a society. When my liberty infringes on other people's right to live, then it needs to be curtailed, right? I can drink a glass or two, three glasses of wine with my dinner, but I don't have the right to get into a car and drive around, right? My liberty to do that is curtailed by the law. It's a similar idea. It's a similar process, and I think, for instance, if I'm driving a car, I'm supposed to wear a seatbelt, right? It's my liberty to not wear a seatbelt is being infringed on by the laws of the country, and yet we take all those things for granted. Right. So it's a similar idea, and A shout out, maybe a call to action to Governor Brown to say maybe it is time to institute a statewide mandate.
Yeah, I mean, for Dr. Evans to mention, you know, there are already, you know, health requirements in the food industry. You know, you do. I mean, that's it, right? We do definitely go to eat out expecting that management would make sure that staff is being healthy in the back. That everyone's following guidelines, no one's making burgers with cuts on their hands, or, you know, and no one's coming to work sick, coughing all over the food. So we already have these things in place. We already have the requirements in place. This is nothing new. So yeah, I will offer my non-medical opinion. Mandate it. let's get it over and done with. let's stop playing around. Let's mandate it and let's continue on, please. Thank you two so much. This was amazing. It was great to be back. I can't wait for us to get this episode out for people to hear it. Yes, and look forward to the next episode with you. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, you're welcome, my man. You're
welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. And a shout out to our colleagues and partners at Multnomah County and OHA who help with getting these shows going.
Definitely. All right, now. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.